You're listening to Mobile Agent TV.
Radio!
Oh yeah, radio. Sorry, Dave.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne from REMAX Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC. Glad to be back on Mobile Agent TV. And as always, my co-host is Dave Falkware from Bridgewater, New Jersey, from the Enviro Realty team at REMAX Preferred Professionals. Dave, it's sort of been a little weird not to have our regular Friday get-together the last couple weeks. How have you been?
I'm doing great. Summer's winding down here in New Jersey, and we're just trying to get the last little bit in before the crazy winter comes here. And you know, but real estate's still booming along.
When does the weather roll in for you?
Well, in New Jersey, it could be any time. It could be next week, or it could be 3 months from now. But the leaves are starting to get – some of the flowers are starting to die, and we have cool nights now. So it's not hot at night, but it's still 80-ish during the day. So you never know here in Jersey.
And that's something – a problem that our guest today doesn't have is the winter rolling in about a week and a half. But during the broadcast, you can interact live on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mobileagenttv, as well as you can interact with us on Twitter using the hashtag MATVLive. If all the viewers have not seen Dave's amazing listing presentation that we talked about, Dave and Vanessa, we talked about a month and a half ago. I guess you recorded it in – I don't remember when it was. Was it in June sometime?
It was a couple of months back, and the region finally got it edited and put together with the slides put in. And there were some things that we missed on it, but overall, it came out pretty cool, and there's some good content there, and they're promoting it to REMAX agents anywhere that want to just have a start. They need a start for a listing presentation. Watch it. It's good stuff.
It's great content. I was on vacation, and I started watching it, and I couldn't put it down 2.5 hours later. Tons of amazing content. You can go to mobileagenttv.com if you want to take a look on that. It's under our quick hits section. I don't know why I would call it quick hits. It's 2.5 hours long, but that's where we put it. It's there. Great information on listing presentations. Just want to go over our lineup of amazing guests, which starts today with our guests. But on August 23rd, we have Tim Schmoyer coming on, who's an YouTube expert. He is one of the leading guys as far as how to, once you have created your video, now what do you do with it? How do you get people to watch it? How do you get it out there? Tim Schmoyer is going to come on the show and answer all those questions. Great guest. Then on August 30th, we have Noel Nissen, who is the technology leader here in REMAX Western Canada. Really smart guy, knows where we're going with technology and mobile stuff, so he's going to be a great guest. I've heard him talk a number of times. September 5th, we have Travis Robertson. If you were at REMAX R4, maybe you caught him. He's coming out to REMAX Canada conference here in October and speaking. Really great guy. Talks a lot about the different generations that are going to be involved in the real estate industry and how we have to sort of adapt to include those different generations. Great speaker. He's going to be a great guest. As well as on September 13th, Raj Kazar from the Boutique Real Estate Group down in Orange County, who's a high-end video maverick. He's the one that sort of started the high-end video movement here. We're going to have him come on. I had a pleasure bumping into Raj on my vacation down to Anaheim and San Diego last week, and he's going to come on and chat about high-end video. So I do want to thank my amazing business partners, Jordan and Trish, for covering things while I was away for a couple of weeks in San Diego. And that's really the reason why I was able to enjoy my time away, is because we have a great team. And that brings us to today's topic. We're going to be talking about teams in real estate. And our guest is Don Matheson from REMAX Fine Properties in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he is the head of the Matheson team. And as always, we read out our guest's 160 Twitter bio. And you can get them at the Matheson team. They are the number one REMAX team in Arizona in 2010. 2011 and 2012. Call the Matheson team at 888-656-4830 for all your Phoenix/Scottsdale real estate needs. Welcome to the show, Don.
Hey, it's great to be here. Awesome, you guys are famous. Golly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're sending you your $15, Don. Enough, I can't afford any more. So one compliment per show, and we'll leave it there. Don, we ask all the people, and we talked about it a little bit before we actually got on the show, the three of us chatted a little bit. We ask all our guests sort of the history, what's your history in the real estate space, sort of the 3,000-foot view of it, and then sort of the history or the genesis of the actual Matheson team.
You mean when I start in real estate?
Yeah, just your history in it, how you got in it, sort of your evolution, and then the evolution of the team.
Sure. Well, I started in Vancouver, Canada, actually, in 1976. That was before cell phones, pagers, car phones, answering services, and all that kind of stuff. And it's hard to explain to some of the younger agents what that's all about. But had my first team about 2 years later. There was two young ladies that worked with me. And then about 17, 18 years ago now, well, I worked in Calgary in commercial real estate. I really developed a healthy respect for a real estate company there, which they were all about systems and teams and teamwork. So it really refined what I was doing. In 86, right after Expo, moved back to Vancouver from Calgary. And then in 95, came to Arizona and started over from scratch. I'd always been a top producer in Vancouver on the Vancouver Real Estate Board. I'd been number one there on that board one time, and I figured that I'd never want to do that again because I had no life, I had no fun, I couldn't play golf, couldn't go for lunch, I was just too busy. So I thought I was skilled enough to come here to Arizona, start over, and it was like Don Who when I started over here. It was a rude awakening, a big shock that no one knew my brand. And after 2 years of slugging it out, I ran out of money. I couldn't afford to pay my rent, which was coming up in a week, or my car payment. Had to call my younger brother in Calgary, and he kept me floating for about 6 months till I started making money. But it took a couple, 3 years nearly, to the point where I became profitable and self-sufficient. So, and to that end, it took me, I got a website in 1996 when I first got here. A young guy came to me, or was sitting in the hallway fixing a computer, a tower. And I said, hey, what are you doing? He says, I'm fixing this guy's computer. I said, hey, son, what's new in your world? Looked like he was about 10 years old or something. He said, well, the World Wide Web. I said, the what? He said, the World Wide Web. I go, oh, cool. Well, what's that? He said, well, it's like the internet. You ever heard of that? And I go, no, how's that work? He says, well, you can advertise your listings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free. I go, my God, free. That's the right number for me, right? He said, well, and you know what else? I said, what? He said, you can send mail for not a nickel, free too. I go, mail? You're kidding. He says, yeah, you heard of email, haven't you? I go, no, what's that? He says, oh, you just type it on the screen, press a button, and it goes out to a bunch of people. I go, awesome, how do I get one? He said, well, I could make you one. I said, oh, great, how much does that cost? $1,500. Go back to my brother, and I said, hey, listen, I need $1,500. He said, what? I said, you heard of the World Wide Web, haven't you? It's a new thing. Internet. Free mail. He goes, no, I haven't. So that's how we kind of started with our first site, AZ Golf Homes. We bought Scottsdale Real Estate about 8 years ago, ScottsdaleRealEstate.com. And so those are up and working quite well for us, along with everything else we're doing in the lead generation space. So that's where we are today. There's 10 of us on the team, 5 full-time licensed realtors, 5 full-time support people that are licensed as well, and each has a very defined role, although we do cross-training in case somebody's away, or we're on our third team baby now, which is real exciting for us. So if someone goes home on maternity leave for as long as they want, then we have somebody else take their place. So.
Wow.
But it's been pretty effective, I think. We've always tried to be consistent, always tried to have systems. We're not perfect. We're the first to admit that. We don't do perfect work, but we do a whole lot of great work. So, we don't get frustrated by that perfect, oh, it has to be perfect kind of thing, you know. And I think we're over about, so far for the year, I think we're about $65 million. Last year we did $65 million, so we're way ahead of last year. Which is real exciting, but the team's been working hard, and I tell everybody, the team are the rock stars. I'm just like the manager, and so we got really, really great people. They've been on the team for a long time. We don't have anybody leave. We've had a few trades or traded some people off the team, and then they become free agents and they can go work wherever they want. I don't like firing people. Trading is so much more fun and less harsh. You know, I don't know about you guys. Do you ever like firing anybody?
No.
We reintroduce them to the marketplace is what it's called.
Yeah, so we've had a few trades, but by and large, a couple of team members are now in their 12th year, two agents with me, and one other agent's with me. Three agents are with me 12 years, one agent's with me 8 years. Support people with me, one 10 years, one 8 years. And so we have a lot of longevity, which is really unusual for a team.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Now let's. I mean, that's really what we want to delve in with you, Don. We really want to talk teams. It's kind of a little bit unfair, but it might be an example of where this industry is going. That all three of us on the panel are a part of a team structured differently. For sure, our team structured differently than I would imagine.
Yeah, so
both of yours.
I thought it was really cool what you do and what David does. I went and looked a little bit on your sites.
Yeah.
Explained a little bit. It was really great. I loved it.
So. Is this, like, you say your first team was back in the 80s or the 70s. My first team was in the early 90s, before the team in the mid-90s that I'm with now.
Yes.
And we were an exception to the rule, especially the fact that we weren't a husband and wife team, which most of the teams were back in the 90s, it seemed to me, and maybe throughout the 80s too as well. But is this where the industry is going? The last 5 years, these big teams and the way they're marketed, these separate brands within, especially a Remax brand or a bigger brand, seems to be a much more common occurrence or much more powerful tool in the industry. Are we going to continue to go towards these team groups, Don, do you think?
You know, there's room for everybody. There's room for the single practitioner. There's room for small teams. There's room for large teams. And I think it just depends on what your why is. Like, you know, for me, my why was, I wanted to have a lifestyle. I wanted to have a life. I wanted to pursue my activities. And I, you know, I plug in all my activities and lifestyle activities and things I enjoy into my calendar first. And my team has 100% access to my email, my Twitter account, my schedule, and they know how I like to schedule, so then they plug in all the appointments around that schedule. So everybody's into it.
But could have you done that when you were making a phone call to your brother? Like put in your personal stuff first, or is that an evolution to where you are now because you have, you know, a successful team with you?
I think that's a natural evolution of where we started, because I think in the beginning you're so concerned with just making a living, you know, just having food with your meals, you know. I mean you don't really have a sense of any free time, and then all of a sudden you start making some money and you go, you know, I don't want to work 7 days a week and I don't want to work 24 hours or 15, 16 hours a day. Because you only have so much energy to move your rock and gain momentum. And as a result, you know, after a couple, 3 or 4 years, then you can take a look at your business, you're making a profit, and you say, hey, who are you gonna add to the team? And speaking of the team, one of my little rock stars just rolled in here.
There you go.
Jessica. Awesome,
hey, Michael, eh? How are you?
My transaction coordinator.
Surrounds himself with attractive women. That's his secret.
Have you seen the photo? It's just, well, there's not. They're not all women.
I got to tell you.
Pretty much, yeah, we all are.
All women on the team, yeah.
That's the secret. Here it goes.
I got to say something about little Jessica here. Well, she's taller than I am, but I got to say something. Remax named a award just for Jessica, and it's called the Precision Award. And she won it 3 years in a row, and then Jessica said to the owners of Remax here, you know, if you could give it to somebody else, it'd be really great, because she's a very humble person. But she did 12 over a three-year span, over 1,200 transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Not one document was missing, not one signature was missing, and not one initial was missing.
Systems.
Yeah.
You have systems?
Systems. Absolutely. She has systems, I guarantee you that.
we're going to talk about that.
But I wanted to give the credit here to my rock star, Jessica. And Jessica, we've been together for a long time, eh?
10 years.
Wow.
Would you work anywhere else?
Nope.
Why not?
I'd retire.
You see the same thing, Dave.
Yep, that's exactly right.
What's the best about working here?
Just everyone really is a team and a family, and everyone takes care of each other and has each other's back, so there's never any loose ends or problems, and if there is, everyone's a problem solver. There's no drama. We just take care of it and get it done.
And I would imagine that, you know, through your growth from when you had to call your brother to where you are today, that you had to kiss a few frogs before you got to where you're at, so to speak, and to get good team members and to put these systems together. Speak to that for a minute, if you could.
Not so much, right?
No, I was going to say Don.
You guys just evolved into a team and it just sort of worked. I mean, where do you get your team members from?
Yeah, in the last 10 years, I don't think maybe we've had two or three that haven't really worked out, but otherwise everyone pretty much fits in.
What do we do to them? We traded them.
Yep, they got traded.
And the team doesn't like it. Usually when someone's not a fit, the team doesn't like it. And they say, you know what, Don, this is not a fit. The team comes to me. It's like a locker room, you know. You go, okay, well, you know, I know we got this supposedly high-performance person, but they're just not fitting. They're making more work for everybody else. So, but I'll come back to that because I know Jessica's got to go, but I thought you want to say hi to Jessica. So.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you. Jessica.
We'll keep you in mind
okay.
for our referrals.
Okay.
So Don, I mean, it's something we want to talk about, and it's something that Dave's very big on too as well, and you've already mentioned it 12 times in the episode. You can't get to be where you are without systems, and especially when it's just not you. When you're dealing with other people, you have to know what page you're on, and obviously you do have that. Has that been an easy process? Has that been a learning experience over the years? What pitfalls have you stumbled upon? Where did you learn, and how did you implement systems to be so successful?
Well, for us, there's lots of systems you can do, and I'm a little bit ADD, so, you know, I never finished high school because I was a problem child, just didn't fit in that. And nowadays, thank God, they recognize children who have a little bit of a learning disorder, and they can adjust their programs around so those kids can become very successful within the system. But I will say that I found out from a very early age, if I wrote things down, and I had a little note, and I still, believe it or not, carry a notepad as well as all the other technology stuff and my iPhone and everything like that, but I still carry a notepad and I still write notes, and I go through about 8 of these a year, and you know, I love systems, but writing things down, Earl Nightingale said, success is a progressive realization of a predetermined worthwhile goal. So if you break that down and you say success is the progressive, in other words, it has movement, realization, in other words, something happens along the way of a worthwhile goal. Well, it has to be what's your why. So I would say, and I talk to a lot of other agents, and I say, well, what's your why? What's important to you? Is it supporting your family? Is it your lifestyle? You know, how many hours do you want to work? Because, you know, when you have a larger team, you have a lot of pressure. Some, like Ryan O'Neill from a good friend of mine back east here, and Dave, you know Ryan, he's got like 50 people on his team. You know, I couldn't handle that. You know, it'd be too much stress for me. But I think that, you know, early on, Top Producer was started in Vancouver, Canada on Broadway and Hemlock Street. And it was orange letters on a black screen, and I had Top Producer from the very beginning. And I've always used it, and I still use it. And now they've done some integration things with Top Producer so that when you're calling, it integrates with Facebook. So when you're calling one of your clients, it goes to Facebook, pulls down their stuff beside them on the screen, and you can see where, well, Johnny just went to his first year at college. So when you call up your client, you go, hey, you know, Johnny, that's really great. You know, he's going to UVic, or he's going to Princeton, or he's going to Arizona State. Awesome, you know. I knew him when he was just in diapers. That's really funny, you know. You got some connection. So I think having a client management system is really important. Jessica has three different systems, two online systems and then she writes things down in case the in her calendar log, just in case the computer goes down, because we have maybe 15 or 20 closings a month. And so, you know, if the computers are down for whatever reason, lightning or whatever it could be, then we're not completely up the creek. We're not going to be able to move it forward as quickly, but we realized, hey, guess what? We better have this. And so that's been helpful. I think the other thing is Microsoft Outlook. I mean, you know, I don't know how you know, you can use Top Producer for your appointments, but I still use Microsoft Outlook because it's just easier for me. Although they're making Top Producer much easier and easier. Evernote is really terrific, and you guys both use Evernote. I know that.
Yep.
And I love Excel spreadsheets. And that'll bring me around to what a title company can do for you that's beneficial. And what I find is, you know, some agents have the wrong idea of what a title company can actually do for you other than good service and staying in touch with you and all that kind of thing. But the title reps, they came in and said, what can I do for you? And I said, you can teach my staff about technology one-on-one. In other words, we want to upgrade our Excel spreadsheet skills. Well, why is that important? Well, so we can measure our success, so we can measure where our leads are coming from, so we can measure our production, so we can, you know, measure all things and have a historical basis for understanding where we're going and how we're getting there. That answer the question, sort of?
It does. It does. And Dave, that's the same thing for you. I mean, you're a systems guy, and you're also, and we've mentioned on the show before, and Don just said it, you're a measurement guy. If you can't measure it, then how do you know if it's working or not?
Well, that's absolutely right. And I, for one, I mean, one of the questions I have for Don, so I was so interested to talk to him on the show here, was we have a small team, and we sort of, our team came together just sort of by accident. My wife and I, we sort of aspired to make more money. We realized we reached a certain level. There's only so many homes two people can sell without either admin assistant or these systems. We had the systems, but we're at a point where we know we need to hire an assistant if we're going to go any higher. We have two buyer agents. We're doing really well in our market. When did you realize, and I assume that you were selling early on, Don, when did you realize you woke up one day and you said, you know, I need to hire somebody else to leverage myself? When does that sort of occur? When did it occur for you?
When it occurred was that, you know, like Brian Buffini says, and I've always believed this for a long, long time since I first started in the business, but, you know, you got to ask yourself, what business are we really in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I ask agents that question, and most agents can't answer it. You know, well, we're in customers, blah, 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 right? A million things. But really, first and foremost, you're in the lead generation system or lead generation business. Mm-hmm. And so you got to focus your efforts as a rainmaker or the head of the team on generating so many leads that you can't possibly handle it. And I hire someone and make an addition to the team, like we just promoted a support staff person in the last year from listing coordinator. She was listing coordinator for 8 years, from listing coordinator to a buyer's agent. And it was because the buyer's agents on the team were so overworked, like they were getting a little cranky, right? And they are making really good incomes. David, you're making good income and your buyer's agents are making good incomes. But what you really want to try to measure is okay, how much more efficient we can be if we add that assistant. And I think that early on I got to tell you the mistakes I made. First mistake was hired on price. And I was churning these assistants over and over, hiring on price. Okay, get the cheapest I can for, okay, well, I can only afford this much. And then I realized that I got to get somebody good. I got to pay a decent living wage so that this person can, you know, enjoy being here because they have a nice income. And the people here are really good at what they do and it's a nice environment. But, you know, you can have all that, but if you're not making any money and you can't feed yourself and you can't put the basic necessities together and have a little extra spending money and feel that you're moving forward, they're not going to stick around. So my advice to you would be to sit down and I found really good success with Craigslist. putting ads in Craigslist for people. And my last four people came through Craigslist. The interview process is always quite interesting. You know, we get all the resumes and people send them out willy-nilly on Craigslist because that's what younger people do. They just send
everywhere
things a day, right? So then I look at them. I look at some of the things that I look at are where did they go to school? What were they doing? How long did they stay at a place? What was their grade point average? What were their social activities like? And then once I get them down to a short list, I go into Facebook and social media and I'd look at what their friends look like.
Ooh.
Right? And then they come in for an interview, and everybody who comes in for an interview has to do a credit and background check, which we have a company that does that. And that will give you all sorts of information about them. So they come in for the meeting, and I ask them, you know, all the standard things. And I always say, hey, did you ever play on a team when you were a kid? You know, did you play on any sports teams? I want to know if they play well with others, right? And then sometimes you get different answers that are really quite humorous, but for the most part, everybody participated in some sort of team game. And then I ask them, hey, did you ever win? And what did that feel like? Did you ever lose, and what did that feel like? You know, how did you like it, losing? How did you like winning? And it's interesting to get their thoughts on that. We had one young woman, she's been with me 3 years, and she's moving back to Moore, Oklahoma to be with her family. But when I interviewed her, she said, no, I never played on any sports teams. I said, well, none? She said, well, I was on a bowling team. Does that count? I go, oh, yeah, that counts. Like, are you any good? She said, well, I rolled 25 games, 300.
Oh.
I said, oh, so you're really good. She said, yeah, I'm really good. I said, what was your average? She said, 235. She said, I was going to be a professional bowler. She said, I was on the cheerleading team, too. Does that count? I said, yeah, that counts. You know? So all those things are really important. And all the young women, and we have one other male on the team, they all have really good records as students. And they all worked. They had, like, the bowler girl had three jobs and put herself through university here in the business school and had a 3.7 grade point average. Came out of school, had no debt, had a car that was paid off. But, man, she was grinding, you know. And I go, hey, this is the kind of person I really like.
So, you know, I think the takeaway for that, for what Don just, well, everything that Don said, for anybody that's going to hire an assistant is, you know, and I think that the trend would be that people look to hire an assistant because one day they wake up and they go, I'm so damn busy, I need help. And they go out and they hire the first person they see,
right,
or the second person. They don't ask the questions. You just put those people through an exhaustive vetting to find out if they're going to fit on your team, asked all the right questions, did all the right things, and that's how you wind up with the right people. So that's the takeaway. Just take your time, find the right people, and they'll make your income rise proportionately.
Well, and one of the things that sounds like Don's saying is that he hires a lot more based on character than skill set. I mean, it sounds like you didn't ask if you had a, you know, history and whatever. It's like all the questions you seem to be asking are character-based or culture-based.
That's true. And the interesting thing is the last four people I hired had no real estate experience whatsoever. And I tell them in the hiring interview, well, I'm just here kind of sorting everybody out. Then now what you do is the team hires you. So you have to go and talk to the team. And so the team, like a couple, three of them will go for lunch or something with that person and talk to them, meet them and do whatever they do, right? And then they'll come back and say, hey, this could be a good fit for us, you know, or no, I don't think so, or whatever however they feel. Because at the end of the day, excuse me, it's all about the team. It's all about them. It's not about me.
You truly do. The picture I'm getting, Don, is you truly do have a team of people that work together, every one of them.
That's true.
Well, if you go to Don's YouTube channel, there's a great video about your team, and I think the word family is mentioned like 12 times in 4 minutes. Maybe team might be a good word, but family seems like it's even a stronger word for what it appears that you've built there, Don.
Oh, thank you.
Now, one of the things that David mentioned about assistance, you've got 5 people out actually working with buyers and sellers, it sounds like, and you've got 5 support staff, but I think you said at the beginning that all 5 of the support staff are also licensed. Is that something that's really important when you say to be able to, you know, plug people and help each other out and catch things that may have fell through the cracks? Is it really important that your support staff are licensed realtors?
Sure it is, because if they're not licensed, they can't talk about price. And that kind of
New Jersey, they can't talk about a lot of other things too.
Well, that's just the main thing.
Yeah, that just
probably 20 other things they can't say anything about, you know. And in Canada, in Vancouver, it kind of wasn't like that. But even though when I was there, I always had licensed assistants, because I felt like, hey, okay, well maybe if you have a licensed assistant, it's easier to make them transition into something else, like a buyer's agent, or they can take out. They can take out a lead and sell them. You know, they can just their scope of work is much greater, and they can contribute to the team a lot better. Plus, if they go and sell something, then their income goes up. So, you know, my base is lower, but the incentives are higher. Like one of the team members. Rented an example would be she rented a very expensive home 2 years in a row to a fellow from Italy, and the third year she rented the home and she said, well, he wants to go out and look at houses, and he asked me if I could help him, and I said yeah for sure. I mean, you know him, I mean, you know his wife and his kids and stuff like that, you go help him. So he bought a $5 million house. So, you know, that helped her income by about $70,000. That was a great little bonus, right?
So when you go ahead and hire someone, Don, then, you're looking for character. Obviously, you're hiring the person and then helping them through the licensing process, because you're not just looking for people that are already licensed, because you've already said that some of the people didn't have an interest in the real estate industry. So are they? Do you put them on the team, get their feet wet while they go through the process, and then graduate them on?
Right. Yeah, we put them on the team. We're very careful about what they can say and not say. And they go to real estate school. We pay for real estate school. We pay for them to go to real estate school, like they're on the clock with us while they're going. We pay their REMAX fees. We pay their board fees, lockbox fees, all that kind of stuff. And so, like the young woman that we've got, Stephanie, she just passed her school exam, and she'll write the state exam, and she's been on the team for nearly 2 months assisting Jackie, and she'll be the listing coordinator, and she has a tremendous skill set. She just moved here from Kansas City. She has a skill set. She knows the drill. She understand. She worked for a team in Kansas City in real estate. She knows all that component. She just doesn't know the geography. So the geography is a fairly easy thing to do and to get her familiar with, because there's neighborhoods, and once she gets her license, then I can send her into neighborhoods, and some of the time I'll go with her, we'll look at houses, we'll talk about finishes, floor finishes, hardware finishes, cabinetry finishes, appliances, backyard finishes, anything that I know, like different stucco styles, different building styles, all that kind of thing. And I will go with her, see a few, so she gets, like, what's the difference between a sand filtration pool system and a diatomaceous earth pool system?
I'd be dying to know, Don. I can't wait to find out.
I'll tell you offline.
David, I know.
David knows.
I know.
There's not swimming pools in Canada.
It'll cost you a little hair, buddy. It costs you a little hair.
See that? I go swimming in a pond.
You know how long it took me to get my forehead ready this morning? Well, so, it's more time than David's, but
yeah. So I hope this doesn't come off on an insult to the great brokers out there, especially in the REMAX industry. There's some great brokers out there. But you just said something about having this really, really vested interest of this continued education, continued knowledge that gets passed on to people that are on your team. And your team might function like a little mini brokerage inside a bigger brokerage. But you've got a lot more vested interest, Don, in your team and the success than maybe brokerages do, where, you know, they're selling seats in offices generally. I mean, outside, you know, other industries. Is that the real advantage of a team over a brokerage, that you really have this vested interest? You need, she needs to know all about the cabinetries and all these other things and really make her an expert in that continued education, because it reflects on your success more than it does in the bigger picture brokerage-realtor sort of relationship?
Well, for sure. And I think that's one of the challenges in our industry. I mean, I don't see it. You know, I mean, there's certain agents that aren't like that. I think there's certain companies that aren't like that. I don't think RE/MAX is like that, because, you know, you pay every day, you know, at RE/MAX. You know, and I always say, well, I work at 100% house. They promise you nothing and they totally deliver. So that's 100%. So we pay all our own expenses and we do all our own marketing and all that kind of stuff. I think the other side of it is that some companies, they just feel another body, another deal, you know, and they try to give them some sort of weird training. Like Stephanie goes to real estate class, you know, doing her hours, and the instructor says, oh, you should never put a sale pending sign on top of your for sale sign. And that's just an absolute no-no. I wouldn't ever advise anybody to do that. But she comes back and tells me that, and I go, holy doodle, that's really strange, because I said, I just put a sale pending sign on a listing. The lady drove by it, like, she came back, and I said, this happened this morning while you were at school. She phoned me up. She said, I'm selling my house down the street. I saw you sold that one. Would you come down and talk to me about putting my home on the market? Which I put that one on the market, and it's closing escrow here in about another week. So, you know, I mean, sometimes the training is just absolutely god-awful. You know, they don't touch the basics, and I'm sure, David, you experienced that, and, you know, you guys are really good producers, so you have to interact with other agents. And the real estate industry is a very unique business, because other agents are our competitors on one hand, but on the other hand, we have to work with them at the same time. Right? It's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I compete against other agents for such a short period of time, and the rest of the time, I want to have amazing relationships with them. I mean, that's the thing about it. Yeah. Dave, you've got all this experience. You've got 30 years in the real estate industry. Is that the advantage of being on a team for you too, is that you've got these buyer's agents that you can just keep dumping all this experience on, which they couldn't access anywhere else at the cost that you can provide it by being part of the team? I mean, I would imagine if I was starting out and I had an opportunity to work with Dave or to work with Don, I would relish that, because that's information and experience I couldn't get anywhere else.
Well, you're right. I mean, and that's kind of one of the things that we promote to our team, that we're here to give you mentoring, guidance, and training, which for the most part in most RE/MAX franchises you can't get, not at least to the level that we're doing it. And then that's kind of the strength. We play to our strengths, and our strengths are, between Vanessa and I, we teach and we mentor. We love to do that, and it's kind of our why, and we know that we'll be rewarded for that. And for the most part, we've had our two buyer agents, one of them is brand new to the business, and he's going to have a really great year. The other guy came from another team that was where he had some challenges, if you will, and he's going to have his best year. So we're very proud of that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I've been a broker owner. I've been a RE/MAX broker owner, and I know what it's like. It is a whole other – it's not the real estate industry at all. It's a whole other business being a broker owner. And to be successful as a RE/MAX broker owner, it takes to the level of perhaps the brokerage that Don works in. His broker owner, I mean, I don't know who he is. I know of several teams there that are extremely successful in that market, and he's probably a profitable broker owner, because it's very hard as a RE/MAX broker owner to be profitable.
Yeah, very tough. I mean, you know, it's not something that I'm interested in at all.
Yeah.
Actually, Don, after hearing you talk about your team, my wife and I have been talking about retiring at some point to Scottsdale, and I was going to join another team in your office, and you know who I'm talking about probably. But now, Don, you got to, like, you know, it sounds a little better, but like, tell Aline.
Well, we probably have a better brand, but you'd have to make it through the team interview. That might be tough. I'm a cream cake.
Are you?
He wants to know your GPA from university years, Dave.
Hey, I just made Don. I just made it out of high school by the skin of my teeth. So
there you go.
Well, you're better educated than I am.
Let's talk about something that we've mentioned. Dave and I have talked about too before, and I'm a big believer. It's a mind shift that happened to me about 6 or 7 years ago. Don, personalities on your team, all exactly the same person or all different, and you then find to play to your strengths. Do you look at each individual and say, here's their strengths? They're either a real detailed, like we just met your one partner there who's crossing I's and dotting T's and not missing anything. That's a lot different than the personality on the marketing creative side of it. Do you really relish playing to your team's strengths, or are you all clones of the same person?
Well, I think you have to have the same core beliefs. That's important. I think the team all has the same core beliefs, you know, and the same way of dealing with the clients. I mean, you know, if I'm away or something like that and I've been showing properties to a client, and someone else has to show them properties when I'm gone, they feel there's no difference. There's no sense of difference because their core belief system in dealing with a client is the same as mine. And I think that the other thing that's strong is everybody on the team is different. But we have a listing coordinator. She's very highly detailed. We have an online leads coordinator. No point in generating leads or online leads if you don't have somebody to follow up and call right away. Put them in a database and keep a conversation going with them. Because, you know, there was one metric that said, well, it takes 16 months from time of that you get an online lead to conversion. Well, most people are on a 30 to 60 day cycle, most agents. Bills are due, you know, rent's due, mortgage payment's due, car payment's due. So, you know, we've had that, and we carry about 350, 400 leads, active leads in our database that the leads coordinator has been doing it for 8 years. She has the complete power to delete somebody. If she thinks it's going nowhere, she just deletes them out of the database. And then we have our transaction coordinator, and we have a social media director. And that's been an interesting game too, you know.
Well, you know what, and that actually brings us to our next question. Because this is mobile agent,
it does?
Don, yes, it does. Yeah. You've been leading us in. It's fantastic. Since this is mobile agent TV, and since you in 1996 picked the kid's brain and asked him all about the internet and about email, you must have a curiosity to continue to push forward. Something that's definitely in Dave and definitely in myself too as well. And I see over your right shoulder there, you know, Pinterest and YouTube and all the social media icons on the bottom of the board you got.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
There. Just a minute. Let me give a commercial. Can you see that okay?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. I think especially for you, Michael and Dave.
I appreciate that. It's amazing. Dave's got one over his shoulder. I got to get something. I usually have something playing on the TV right there, but
get in the Matheson zone. Anyway,
there you go.
So
what impact has mobile and technology and perhaps social media, I'll mash it all together, big question, on you and your customers and on the way your team functions with each other, that instant connectivity with everyone at all times, as well as the ability to connect with the customer at all times? What impact has mobile and social had on the Matheson team?
I think, you know, my sense of social media is a big scam. And times suck. Boy, everybody's going to really load up on me on that one, eh?
Yeah, no, no. It's, I mean, Dave said it a lot of times.
Been okay. saying it a long time. Don, you know, my saying, Don, it goes along with that. You still got to put them in your car.
Exactly. So go ahead, Don. Elaborate that, and then elaborate on the mobile tools, the iPhones on your team, and how you interact with each other.
Sure. I think back to social media. I think social media is going to be something for us. You know, us agents.
Yep.
Sometime in the near future, I think it's going to be really, really effective. And I think that, you know, about a year ago, I made a commitment to have a person that just does that function. And I go to Inman every year, which I really love the Inman. You've been to the Inman?
I haven't been yet. I know. I've been bad about
David,
it. But
have you been to the Inman?
No.
One in San Francisco.
We know people there, but we haven't been.
Sorry, Laura Monroe. I apologize. I'm coming soon.
Yeah. Boy, Laura will be really upset now.
I know. She knows. She was trying to get me down to San Francisco. Yeah.
But I go to that one in San Francisco because I think that's a better one. But social media, I think that my sense of it is now, after being in it for a year and spending quite a bit on it, I think that social media, it will have its time. And if you're not in it, you'll be too late to be in it when its time comes. But I would say that if you're a single practitioner and you can't afford someone to do it for you, or you can't afford to hire a subcontractor to do it for you, then I probably would do very little of it. You know, that's my opinion.
You have to have everything else ticking along before you plug that part into it, you're saying.
Yes, and I think that talking to your, you know, having a conversation and using social media and your resources on your past clients is much more of a revenue generator for you. I think postcards, you know, we spend $100,000 a year on postcards and I get $600,000 a year in revenue back. Well, is that good?
Yeah, let me just do the math.
Right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. And you know what? It's been very, very impactful for us the way we've leveraged it. And our team, in a way of trying to be bigger than the real estate transaction and building our brand and awareness. And we have been at it hard for 2 years, and I can feel it coming. But it for the, you know, for a year and a half, it was, you know, is this going to become something? And I know that it will be, and I think I'm sort of on the same page as you. When it does switch, we've positioned ourselves to take advantage of it. But right. That's because we also have a lot of the other things already in place. We've got 20 years worth of, you know, of database and of clients and when we're moving along. So it's been a little bit easier. I agree. If you were just to jump into the real estate market, that's not where I would start, you know, in the first 6 months for sure.
No, I wouldn't either. And I will say that I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to be, you know, there's always a tipping point, right? Like Malcolm Gladwell says.
Yep.
But what would you say or think, both of you, David included, what would you think would be the tipping point that would cause social media to become profitable for you as agents? What do you think could occur, or even if it's a really outlandish thing to say?
Well, no, I don't think it's outlandish. I think it's time. I think when the millennial generation
is
the main consumer.
Like, right.
These millennials, and we're going to have Travis Robertson on the show because he talks about it a lot. The reason why we choose what restaurant we go to is because we want to eat a certain food, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. When you don't have the ability to communicate to your buyers and sellers the way they want to communicate and the way they want to be dealt with, they will go somewhere that provides that for them. And the millennial generation, which I'm kind of on the cusp on, I'm an Xer. But they see things and they react and they engage in a very different way than my parents do, in a very different way. And they're 25 years old and they're 30 years old. When that generation is the 40 to 30-year-olds and they're the main force, and they're a big generation too, right? They're the kids of the baby boomers.
They are big.
And I think that's when social plays out in a huge role. If they can't go and do the research on you online and find out who you are, the same way, Don, you dig up all the Facebook and all the things when you go to hire, they're going to come and search you. When they call you, they already know who you are, and if they can't find out who you are, I don't think they're going to call you. I just don't think they're going to call you. I think that is the big switch that's coming, inevitable. And I really believe the millennial generation is a little bit both. They want to be communicated with in a certain way, but they also want to have experience. They want to have someone that's been there and done that, and they can trust. And so I think millennials are going to look for experienced agents that communicate with them the way they want to. So I think they want a little bit of both, and people like you and Dave that embrace that but also have the experience are positioned in an enormously beneficial way. I believe that's the tipping point. Dave, you?
You just stole all my thunder. It's exactly, I mean, I wouldn't say it as much detail, but basically there's a certain group of people coming along. You know more about it than I do. But there's a certain group of people coming along that this social media is ingrained in them. Social media, to me, and probably to Don, is just something that sort of came along in our lifetime, changed the way we do some things.
Right.
We're doing things a little different, and I'm on board, and I'm doing it, you know. But the other generations behind me and behind maybe my daughter and her friends or even behind that, this is just the way – It's embedded and printed on their brains how they social media is how they interact with people. I would hope that it only becomes like a way to as a lead generator to make that initial contact. I would still hope that no matter what generation comes along, we still have to shake hands and.
I think that's going to happen.
I would hope it don't go past that because.
No.
If it, you know,
no, just, I don't think it will. I think, and Gary Vaynerchuk has a great quote, and I use it in my presentations. As we move more towards the Jetsons, the people that act like the Flintstones will win. And I believe you have to use Jetsons tools to have an old school experience. I think it's a great example. And here's an example of the power of how different people are. My North Langley, our Facebook community, our YouTube community for our local area. Today is August the 16th. There was a post I put out yesterday where someone asked me, and it happens every week, every other day, I am just had a child. I'm looking for a new doctor. Can people recommend? They're going turning to our Facebook page to find out the doctor that will take care of their newborn child. That's the way they want their recommendation. And that's peer recommendation. It's not from people that they perhaps even know. It's a different. So they're going to go on there and say, who should I use a real estate agent? Who should I use to fix my roof? Who should I? This is where they're sourcing. Social media is today's Yellow Pages, are today's Google search. I turn to YouTube and to Twitter for my search way more than I turn to Google anymore. It's just a different generation.
Right. And that, so I want to talk with you guys about another thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. My sense is that the millennials and social media and all that, that's going to take a wild impact me and my market. Just because of the nature of the product that I sell and the type of person that I sell to. I mean, my average person is, well, now they're getting into low 40s. But, you know, they're buying a secondary home. You know, it's 50% of the market. They're buying a golf home, that kind of thing. I mean, we do sell smaller homes, too, like $200,000 condos, lock and leave, you know, kind of thing.
Yep.
But I've been fascinated by this whole concept. And I've been asking the question for 4 years. How will I know that Michael or David is going to be selling their home before Michael and David know? Would that not be something that's valuable to know?
I mean, we look at it is something valuable. No, I just think the game has changed differently. And this goes back even to the millennial generation. When a consumer comes to us now, if we haven't been involved since the get-go, they've already researched online the homes that they like. They already know what they want. They are so further ahead in the process when they involve us into the process. I don't think the day and age where the very first person they contacted after the night that they had a conversation over a glass of wine thinking, hey, we should buy a new home, they came to you, Don. Those years are gone. They're well into the process, especially the younger generation, are well into the process before they ever involve us. So our value proposition is no longer the data, thankfully. It's much more about what you said about.
You're on the right track here of what I'm going to try to share.
Okay, but I think it's about the neighborhoods. You talked about the information. Yeah. No one can communicate the value, what I know about my community, in a Google search. You can't do it. You might know the house you want to buy, but you don't know the neighborhood you want to buy without using my experience. I just believe it's a different. I don't think you can find them that early anymore. I think you're going to catch them further on in the conversation. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't agree, but
okay. Good. I love that, Don. Well, what did you? Where you are?
David, what? You want to make a comment to that before?
No, I'm kind of lost with your question, but go ahead. I don't know where you're going with this, but
so how would? I've been asking this question of people for 4 years. How would I know that David is going to be selling his home before David knew?
Well, David's a newlywed and they're pregnant, maybe. You know,
it would be really valuable to me to know that David is thinking but hasn't evidenced a move and hasn't said anything to anybody, right?
One way maybe listening on social media. I mean, that's the one thing that I hear. You have somebody that sits.
Social media is the venue, okay? But this whole concept of big data, I mean, I've been into big data for a long time now, which is really sounds kind of crazy.
Yep.
And at the Inman 2 years ago, there was these computer scientist guys, and they looked like computer scientist guys. You know, round glasses, beards, you know. And they came on just for a 10-minute segment, and they were talking about big data. And it was very fascinating. And there's a book out right now that I just picked up by accident because it had my favorite two words, big data, on the cover. And it is such a good book, written by two very intelligent guys about the whole concept of that. And it's like you take out your credit card, right, out of your wallet, and you swipe it in the machine like that, right, and all your data is collected. And there's trillions and billions of, maybe even billions of trillions, of bits and pieces of data that are consumer behavior. And so how can we access that? Well, Facebook has gone to, here's one example, Facebook has gone to six vendors and said, hey, we're going to sell you data, like consumer behavioral data, like what they're clicking on. Republic Media, which is a Gannett. Am I saying it right, David?
Gannett.
Okay.
Gannett. Publishing.
What they have is anytime you go and you're reading the paper online and you click on something, there's a click-through, that data is recorded. So there might be an article on autism and childbirth, right? And where they induce women to have their child earlier. Well, they click on that, and then they click on diapers, or they click on something else, or they click on baby rash. Before they're even thinking of doing anything, they just got married, but they're already interested in children, right? So they take all those pieces of big data, and they marry them together into one consumer point, and now what you do with your marketing is you tailor your marketing to that big data point, to that person, and you may be able to market to him her for say 14-15 months, but now you've weeded out and the accuracy levels of this stuff is now about 80%.
Wow.
Well, so you can weed out your marketing efforts and focus it in on the 80% accuracy rate, right? And so as an agent you can become much more effective in who you're contacting and sharing your information and Facebook friending and all that kind of stuff and being on LinkedIn and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they know Michael. Before he was even thinking of moving, he was consciously thinking of it. Subconsciously he's thinking of it, but consciously he's not, right?
Yep.
So So the book Big Data, I think you both would really enjoy it.
On my next read list. I'm putting it down right now.
I think you'd really enjoy it. It's an easy read. They did a good job so that they don't get you lost in the professorship of it all. It's really very fascinating.
It's interesting. I just real quick, as we're sort of getting off, I think, off topic a little bit, but there was a guy I met at the convention, a vendor at the R4, who had something similar to what you were talking about, using data to identify. It was a website, and you subscribe to it, and he identified different things that they were doing through the very method to identify people who were doing some things by habit that may lead you to believe that they were going to sell their homes or buy their homes. So I don't think you're way off base. I had met somebody at a convention. I'm going to dig it up and I'll pass it along to you.
Wait, I mean, that's very true. I think human beings are very, very predictable in their behavior as a mass. I just think we probably go through the same thing, cycles all the time. I mean, it might change, sure. But you're right. I mean, there's a ton of information out there that says if these three things occur in a certain amount of time, then this is probably the next likely thing that's going to occur. So, absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing all the information. I really learned a lot today from both you guys.
We're not done.
Really smart guys.
I've got one.
Isn't technology wonderful, you know? But you have the old guys who, you know, young guys in technology, you know, what happened? Lights out.
He came back. Here he is.
I'm back.
Oh, jeez.
The internet went down in Canada. It's Big Brother. They heard what you said, Don. They heard what you said, and they tapped the pipe in to our little conversation here.
Oh, I'm up the creek now.
Yep.
One of the questions I wanted to ask to Dave and to Don, because you're on different size teams, it's a question we get, and we've been mindful of it and the way we've structured our team. The question is, the objection that I get from individual realtors, perhaps, is the objection of, when I call my realtor, I want Don. I want the boss. When I call my realtor, I want Dave. And the team, because there's systems in the way, what do you say to that? What's the value proposition to the potential client? What do you have to say about that issue? Both of you.
Well, I can sort of address that real quick. We tell everybody when we go on listing appointments, or when we're working with buyers, that we're the main contact. We have a small team. We're the main contact. We're in the back sort of making sure that everything's done well. But there may come a time when, with a small team, you may work with one of our buyer agents. Or you may hear, as a list on one of our listings, you may hear, get some feedback from somebody else. So we just let them know that there is, that we're in sort of in control. I would imagine would be a little bit different answer with the size of Don's team.
I imagine it's a very, very different answer.
Different answer altogether.
So very, very simply, very similar to David's answer, only I say, hey, we're structured very different than most real estate agents. And what we want to do is make sure you're 100% covered. And so what I did is I set up our team just like a law firm. We're all professional partners. We're all licensed. We all have the same core belief system of dealing with our clients. Now, if you call me, you'll get a hold of me, no doubt. There'll be no doubt that you'll get a hold of me. You can leave a voicemail that goes to my email, and I can read it if I'm in a meeting, and I'll text you back. But what we're going to do is we're going to make sure you're 100% covered and you're never ignored. And that's what's really important. And, people have things that they do, and they can't phone you back, or they're with a client and they can't go out and show you that property. But Dave, if you want to go see a property and you want to see that property now, Tracy is available to see it now. Otherwise, I can show it to you at 6 o'clock. If it's and I think it's a now market, so you should go see it right away.
So you're laying those foundations early on. I mean, that's a conversation you must have with every one of your clients. Lay that early on, then it's not an objection.
Early on, very beginning.
We do it in our first buyer counseling meeting, and then in the very first listing appointment, when we first meet people, we're explaining how the team works and exactly what Don said, almost to a T.
Yep, same with us. It's a little different than the way we structured our team, but absolutely the same. Dawn, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and talking teams. Your knowledge and your 37 years worth of experience was invaluable to our listeners. I know we got a bunch of people watching right now, and a lot of people are going to watch this on the replay. Dawn, if people have agents that are watching right now, Scottsdale, Arizona, how do they get a hold of the Dawn Matheson team, or the Matheson team?
Right down here. Right down here. That's you can email me, Dawn@azgolfhomes.com, or you can call me at 602-694-3200, or you can always call me toll-free, which I've had that number out there for a long time, 888-656-4830, or Google Scottsdale Real Estate, and you'll find in the organic searches that I'll be number one on the list, and just click on it, click through, and you get a hold of me. Make it pretty easy.
It's because he adopted it early, the same way he's adopting social early, because when it did matter, he was already positioned himself. That's the advantage. He already has a lot of content out there. That's what I tell people all the time. When this social thing switches, Dawn, because you've been at it for 3 years is the reason. When organic search mattered, it's because you already had 3 years in. It's worth putting in the time and effort now because it will pay off long term. I'm running a marathon and not a sprint, so that's a really important thing to say.
And I will say, always answer your phone. I was in Ireland last week. Guy called me up. I answered the phone. He said, "Oh, I want to talk to you about listing your house. Can you come over and see it?" I said, "Well, I can't come over for 6 days because I'm in Ireland." He said, "Oh, I can't believe you answered the phone from Ireland." I say, "Well, you're important. Why wouldn't I answer the phone?"
Yeah.
When I went over to see him, he just said, "Well, I was going to talk to a couple other realtors, but because you answered the phone and you were in Ireland, I figured I was important to you." I said, "You are."
Yep.
Said, "Great. Where do I sign and how much do you think I should list for?"
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Putting your clients first and demonstrating that your value proposition is top notch is great. Dave, takeaways from today's show. I know you have to have one of them, one or two of them. Hiring an assistant.
Well, actually, that's exactly what it is. Because we've been having a lot of discussions about it. We're having our best year ever. We're busy. We're tired. There's a lot of things I want to do that I'm not able to do because I'm physically serving clients, solving problems, which I like to do, but I also like to do lead generation, and I want to build a team, and I can't do it under the structure. And I guess the one thing I learned from Don here, which I sort of knew anyway, but I really got hammered home, is if I'm looking for an assistant, I'm going to not hire the first one that comes down the pike. I'm going to really vet them. I'm going to look for the right person and not be afraid to pay them.
Yeah, and it sounds like Don's advice is hire on character, not skill set. But
absolutely.
And Dave, I just want to say something a little bit about Mobile Agent TV. We are like 3 days away from our 6 month anniversary or half year from our very first episode. It's amazing, right? 6 months in, yeah. I didn't think it would be what it is already.
Last that long, boys.
What was that?
Not a lot of marriages last that long. Good going.
Yeah.
I think the reason why it's so successful is Dave and I have only spent 2 hours together face to face. I think if that was most marriages, maybe it would be.
We don't have to decide where to go eat every night together.
So anyway, congratulations, Dave. This is awesome. We're going to be at a year before you know it at Remax R4. We'll be sort of our 1 year anniversary. So that's great. Next episode is August 23rd. Our guest is Tim Schmoyer, who is a YouTube expert. He's not from the real estate space. He is an SEO expert talking what Dawn just talked about. He is the person that will help you understand how to position your videos after you've created, which we talked about video on the show a lot, about how to create a video. But now that you have videos, now what do? How do you make that searchable? How do you create that community? He's a very, very sought-after smart speaker. You can get him at Real SEO on YouTube, as well as Content Creators TV. I'm sorry, Tim. I'll put it in the link below. But he's coming on the show next Friday. As always, if you have any referrals heading out to Scottsdale, Arizona, please get a hold of the Matheson team. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He will get you in the hands of the right REMAX agent if that referral isn't for his area because Dave is the right RE/MAX agent for you out in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And if you have any referrals coming out to the west coast of Canada, get a hold of me and we'll get you in the right hands of the right RE/MAX agent out here. And as Melanie Gallia of RE/MAX Fort McMurray wants us to end every show, please tell five other RE/MAX agents about Mobile Agent TV. We grow every time. We've got great conversation. We're building a really great community here with great RE/MAX agents all throughout North America, and we appreciate everyone for watching the show. You can get us on Stitcher Radio and on iTunes. Thank you, Dave. It's great to be back on the show. I missed you, and we've got a great run of guests lined up for the next month and a half. And thanks, Don, for taking an hour out of your time and sharing your amazing expertise on teams and everything else about how to be a super successful agent in the RE/MAX brand. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Don.
If I can help you guys anytime, just give me a quick ring.
We will do that. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Mobile Agent Radio.